Okay, so get this. You wanted the inside scoop on what's really working in email marketing right now. So we did a deep dive, went headfirst into GetResponse's 2024 Email Marketing Benchmarks report.
Oh, nice.
And this thing is, well, it's juicy. It's packed with insights from, get this, analyzing billions of emails.
Wow.
We're talking real-world data, folks, not just like theories and stuff.
Yeah.
And to help us unpack it all, we've got, well, an expert, obviously, we always do.
Of course.
It's Mikay Slishiski, Head of Content and Partnerships at GetResponse.
Happy to be here.
All right, so first shocker, right out the gate.
Okay.
Engagement with emails is actually up. I thought, like, with everyone always complaining about overflowing inboxes, I was ready for some, like, doom and gloom
Right.
stats. But nope, both open rates and click rates actually increased in 2023.
Yeah, it is surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
But maybe, we've all just gotten better at like filtering out the noise.
Oh, that's a good point.
Marketers are getting smarter about
Wait,
targeting, and people are more willing to engage with brands they actually, actually care about.
yeah, no, that makes total sense.
So, yeah.
But here's where it gets even wilder.
Right.
Engagement actually went UP during the holiday season, Q4, you know? Like,
Mate.
I figured that would be the death of email, like, you know,
Everyone's inbox is just, yeah.
just completely flooded.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
Yeah.
But Leszczyski, he points out that during Q4, people are just in a different headspace.
Oh, interesting.
They're actively looking for deals, comparing products, ready to buy.
Within buying mode.
Exactly. So a well-timed email can actually be welcomed, not just like another annoyance.
Huh. So it's almost like permission marketing, but like on a seasonal scale.
Yeah.
People expect more emails then, so they're more receptive.
That's a great way to put it.
It's fascinating. Okay, let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
Location, 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 right?
Yeah.
The report found that Europeans are more engaged with emails than North Americans. What's the deal with that?
Well, it's likely tied to, those stricter data privacy laws over in Europe.
GDPR?
Yeah, GDPR, exactly.
Right.
So European marketers, they have to be really careful about who they're emailing and how they got consent.
So they can't just blast out messages to like massive lists and hope something sticks.
Nope, no more spray and pray.
So they're forced to be more targeted,
That's strategic, yeah.
which actually ends up benefiting them.
Ironic, isn't it?
It's like that saying, constraints breed creativity.
Exactly. And it highlights something super important for anyone listening.
Ooh, I like these. Hit them with it.
A smaller but highly engaged email list is way more valuable than a giant list.
Full of people who never open your emails.
Exactly. Quality over quantity wins again.
Preach. This is a good reminder to like regularly clean up your email
Yeah,
list
sure.
and make sure you're only sending to people who actually want to hear from you.
Couldn't agree more.
All right, next up, newsletter frequency.
Ooh, good one.
It feels like this is the eternal debate. Like, how often should you send emails without, you know, annoying people?
Yeah.
What's the magic number?
Right. Well, this report kind of throws a wrench in the whole one-size-fits-all advice,
Really?
GetResponse found that some brands were thriving with multiple emails per day,
Whoa, hold on.
while others struggled even sending weekly.
Multiple a day, that's intense.
It is, but I guess it depends on what you're sending, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So it all boils down to your audience and the content.
Right.
If you're in, say, like B2B,
Yeah.
your audience is probably pretty busy, doesn't want constant emails.
Makes sense.
But, a niche blog, like with a super engaged readership, might be able to pull off daily updates.
It's like that one newsletter you actually look forward to reading. If the
Right.
content's consistently good, you don't mind seeing it more often.
Exactly. So instead of focusing on some like arbitrary frequency number,
Right.
just focus on delivering value with every single email you send.
I like that. That's a good takeaway.
Yeah.
Focus on value. Okay, speaking of timing,
Yeah.
the report found that early morning, like 4 to 6 a.m.
And late afternoon, 5 to 7 p.m., those seem to be like the prime times to get those emails opened.
Really? See, I'm a morning inbox checker,
Yeah.
but I bet I'm more likely to like actually CLICK on something later in the day.
When you have more time.
Yeah, when I actually have time to read and, you know, act on it.
You're spot on. The report actually backs that up. Morning might be good for visibility, but people tend to click through more in the afternoon.
Interesting.
So you got to think about that when you're scheduling your sends,
Well,
right?
like, what's the goal?
Exactly. Do you want that initial attention grab? Or are you looking for immediate action?
Ooh, that's a good way to think about it. It's like a two-pronged approach.
Right.
Morning for awareness, afternoon for conversions.
I like it.
Okay, let's move on to subject lines, the make or break,
rather. Wait, sure.
We all know they're super important.
Yeah.
But what's the data saying about what actually works?
Well, the data kind of confirms what a lot of us suspected. Short and sweet subject lines.
Okay.
Under 70 characters.
Yeah, keep it concise.
Yeah, seems to be the sweet spot for most brands.
Makes sense. People are scrolling through their inboxes quickly. You got to grab their attention fast.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, wasn't there something in the report about long subject lines doing well, too?
Ah, you caught that.
What's the deal with that?
Right, this is where it gets interesting. The report found that some very long subject lines, like over 100 characters.
Wow.
Actually performed really well.
So are we saying ditch the 70-character rule?
No. This isn't a green light to start writing novels in your subject lines.
Okay, good.
But it suggests there's more to it than just character count.
Okay, so what's the secret sauce then?
It probably comes down to brand trust and timing, I think, combined with really compelling copyright.
Okay, yeah.
If people love your emails, they'll open them no matter what, and a longer subject line might stand out more in a quiet inbox.
Oh, that's...
Especially if it, like, piques their curiosity.
Promises something good.
Exactly. Promises a valuable reward.
So it's about understanding your audience and, like, breaking the rules strategically.
I think that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Okay, I like it. What about emojis? Yay or nay in subject lines?
Proceed with caution on this one.
Really?
Emojis in subject lines actually correlated with lower open rates overall.
I would have thought they'd at least, like, grab attention.
They do grab attention, but it's not always the kind you want.
Okay, true.
They can come off as, like, gimmicky.
Or spammy.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Especially if they're not used, you know, thoughtfully.
And they don't always render the same across different devices.
Right, that too. Which can lead to a messy look.
So it's another one of those, what works for one brand might totally flop for another.
100%.
Testing.
Always testing.
All right, let's talk about the content of the emails. Like, what's actually inside?
Yeah.
What's making emails stand out and grab attention these days?
Well, two things really jumped out in the report. Video and personalization.
Ooh, interesting.
Emails with embedded videos had significantly higher engagement.
Well, yeah, video is just so much more dynamic than a wall of text.
Right. Think about it. What's more likely to stick with you? A boring product description?
Or a snappy video demo.
There you go.
And video doesn't even have to be complicated these days.
Nope.
Even a like simple, well-lit video on your phone can add so much.
So much personality, yeah.
Now, personalization, we all know it's important.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the 2024 version of this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it still just about dropping someone's first name in the subject line?
No. That's so 2023.
Okay, good.
The name game is overplayed. People see right through it.
Right.
The report highlights the importance of meaningful personalization.
Okay, I like that.
It's about going deeper, referencing past purchases, offering like hyper-relevant recommendations.
So you really know them.
Yeah, you're proving that you understand their needs.
It's like that difference between a salesperson who's just trying to make a quota.
Yeah.
And a consultant who genuinely wants to help you.
Exactly. People can tell when you're just pushing product versus actually caring about their experience.
And the data shows it.
Mm-hmm. Generic blasts just don't cut it anymore.
So personalization is about more than just data points.
It's about creating a tailored experience. Yeah.
Got it. What about images?
Oh, good question.
Are we all about that minimalist text-only look now?
No. Images are still very much alive and kicking in the email world.
Okay.
Emails with images still had higher click-through rates compared to plain text ones.
Well, yeah, visuals just draw you in, right?
Yeah, they make the email more inviting, more appealing.
But there's a caveat here, right?
What's always a caveat?
You don't want to sacrifice readability for, like, a fancy design.
You need that balance. Accessibility is so important.
Yeah, font sizes should be at least 14 to 16 points for everyone to enjoy the content, especially people with visual impairments. That's a good point. And we've got to remember that lots of people are reading these on their phones.
Yes, mobile readability is key.
So it's about finding that right balance.
Visually appealing, but also easy to read and accessible to everyone.
Okay, now before we wrap up this first part of our deep dive, I want to touch on automation.
Okay. Yeah.
The report highlighted the huge benefits of using email automation tools.
Mm-hmm. This is where things get really exciting.
So this is about like making email marketing work for you.
Working smarter, not harder. That's the goal.
Right, exactly. Think about how much time you spend on things like segmenting your audience, personalizing messages, figuring out the best send times.
It's a lot, right?
It's way too much time.
What if you could automate those tasks?
Oh, tell me more.
Imagine like an AI assistant, right?
Okay.
That analyzes your data and tells you exactly who to target, what to say, and when to say it.
That sounds like a dream come true.
Right. It's like having a 24/7 email marketing guru on call.
Okay, but is it like really that good?
Yeah, it's not quite there yet.
Okay.
But the AI tools available are getting pretty sophisticated.
Give us some examples. What kind of magic are we talking about?
Okay, well, one example is AI-powered product recommendations, right? You know how like Amazon seems to always know what you want to buy next?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little creepy, but it's undeniably effective.
For sure.
Well, you can use similar technology in your email marketing.
Really?
There are tools out there that'll analyze customer data and automatically recommend products or services that are, you know, likely to resonate with each subscriber.
So instead of a generic email blast, you're sending personalized suggestions?
Based on each person's interests.
And past behavior. Oh, that's smart.
Exactly. It just makes your emails way more relevant.
More engaging.
Which leads to, you know, higher click-through rates, more sales.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal here. What other automation tools did the report highlight?
Another one that really stood out was time optimization.
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one.
There are tools out there that analyze your subscribers' open and click patterns and automatically send emails at the best time for each individual.
So, no more guessing games about the best send time.
Nope. Let the data decide.
This must be super helpful for people with, like, subscribers in different time zones.
Oh, for sure. You can make sure your email arrives when they're most likely to see it.
Which can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
And it's not just about timing.
Okay.
There are tools that automate your entire email workflow. Like you can set up automated welcome sequences for new subscribers.
Oh, nice.
Abandoned cart emails to, you know, recover those lost sales.
Smart.
Even birthday messages to make people feel special.
Oh, I like that.
It's like having a virtual assistant handling all your email marketing in the background.
While you focus on other things.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
Now I'm seeing why the report emphasized simplification.
It's all about working smarter, not harder.
Right. Embrace automation. Simplify your processes.
Achieve better results with less effort.
Who wouldn't want that? Now, before we move on, I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier.
Okay.
Accessibility.
Important topic.
Making sure your emails are readable for everyone.
Regardless of ability.
Did the report mention any, like, best practices for this?
Yeah. We already talked about font size.
14 to 16 points.
At least. It seems small, but it makes a big difference for people with visual impairments.
And mobile readability has got to be key, too.
Absolutely. Beyond font size, use clear and concise language.
Yeah, no jargon.
No jargon. And when using images, which we know can be great.
Right.
Always use alt text.
Alt text, for folks who might not know, that's a short description added to an image tag that's read aloud by screen readers for people who are visually impaired.
Yeah. Oh, so even if they can't see the image, they still understand what it's about.
Okay.
Write descriptive alt text.
Don't just say image.
Exactly.
And good color contrast is essential.
Mm-hmm. Important for everyone, but especially people with color blindness.
So font size, alt text, color contrast.
And the trifecta.
Keep it in mind, folks. These small steps make your email marketing more inclusive.
More accessible to everyone.
And that's a goal worth striving for.
Absolutely.
Ready to wrap up with the final part of our deep dive?
Let's do it. Welcome back to our email marketing deep dive.
We left off last time on kind of a cliffhanger.
Talking about automation.
Yeah, the power of it all.
Right. And you know what's fascinating is that the report, it really emphasizes how automation can actually simplify email marketing.
It's not about, like, adding more complexity, right?
No, not at all.
It's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Think about how much time you spend, like, segmenting your audience.
Yeah.
You know, crafting personalized messages.
Way too much.
Trying to figure out the best send times, all of that.
There's much time.
What if you could automate all of that?
Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
Imagine, like, an AI assistant that analyzes your data and tells you exactly who to target, what to say, and when to send it.
That sounds amazing, like having a 24/7 email marketing guru on call.
Right. It's not quite there yet, but the AI tools that are out there are getting pretty sophisticated.
Okay, so like, give us some examples. What kind of automation magic are we talking about here?
All right, well, one example is AI-powered product recommendations.
Okay.
You know how like Amazon seems to just like always know what you want to buy next?
Yeah, a little creepy, but it works.
Right. Well, you can actually use similar tech in your email marketing.
Really?
There are tools out there that'll analyze your customer data
Okay.
and automatically recommend products or services that are likely to, resonate with each subscriber.
So instead of just sending out like a generic email blast to everyone, you're sending personalized suggestions based on like their interests.
And their past behavior.
Ooh, that's smart.
It just makes your emails way more relevant, more engaging.
Leading to more sales, hopefully.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. What other automation tools did the report highlight?
Another one that stood out was time optimization.
Ooh, yeah, time optimization.
So there are tools out there that analyze your subscribers' open and click patterns
Okay.
and automatically send emails at the optimal time for each person.
So no more guessing games about when to send.
Let the data decide.
I like it. And this must be especially helpful if you have like subscribers all over the world.
In different time zones? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can make sure that your email arrives when they're actually most likely to see it.
Which can make a huge difference in open rates.
Huge, yeah.
Okay, so we've got AI-powered recommendations. We've got time optimization.
And it's not just about timing, though.
Oh, there's more.
There are tools that will automate your entire email workflow.
Really? Like what?
You can set up like automated welcome sequences for new subscribers,
Oh, that's nice.
abandoned cart emails to recover those lost sales,
Smart.
even birthday messages.
Oh, I like the birthday
Make
messages.
people feel special.
Yeah, little things like that.
It's like having a virtual assistant handling all of your email marketing in the background.
While you focus on, other important things.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
So now I'm really seeing why the report emphasized simplification.
Right. Working smarter, not harder.
Embrace automation, simplify your processes.
And achieve better results with less effort.
Sign me up. Now, before we move on, I want to circle back to something we talked about a bit earlier,
Okay.
accessibility.
Right.
Making sure your emails are readable for everyone, no matter their abilities.
Absolutely super important.
Did the report give any like specific best practices for email accessibility?
Yeah, they did. We talked about font size,
14 to 16 point.
at least that. It seems small, but it makes a big difference.
For people with visual impairments.
Especially, yeah.
And mobile readability is key too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so many people are reading emails on their phones these days.
Right.
So beyond just font size, use clear and concise language. Avoid like jargon,
Yeah, you keep it simple.
no technical terms. And then when you're using images, which we know can be great, always use alt text.
Alt text, for folks who might not know, that's that short description added to an image tag that's read aloud by screen readers for people who are visually impaired.
Right. So even if they can't see the image, they can still understand what it's about.
I see.
So write descriptive alt text. Don't just say image or leave it blank.
Got it.
And good color contrast is essential.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Making sure the text is easy to read against the background,
Right. Important for everyone, but especially for people with color blindness.
Exactly.
So font size, alt text, color contrast.
Keep those in mind, folks.
Yeah, these small steps can make your email marketing more inclusive.
More accessible to everyone.
And that's something we should all be striving for.
Absolutely.
All right, welcome back for the final part of our email marketing deep dive.
We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. From those rising engagement rates to the power of automation, accessibility.
Busting some myths along the way.
Yeah, like emojis and subject lines always being a good thing.
Right, or that there's like one magic number for newsletter frequency.
Right. It all comes back to, I guess, really understanding your audience,
For sure.
testing different things, refining your strategy as you go.
Always refining.
Speaking of strategy, there was one final takeaway from the report that really stuck with
I
me.
think I know what you're going to say.
It's that idea that email marketing isn't just about sending messages, it's about like actually building relationships.
Couldn't agree more.
It's easy to get caught up in those metrics,
Oh, yeah.
The open rates, click-through rates, conversions,
All those numbers.
and forget that there are actual people on the other side of those emails.
Real people, real relationships.
And those people are way more likely to engage with your brand if they feel like you get them.
Yeah, if they feel seen.
If they feel like you value them, like you're providing something helpful or entertaining.
Like you're not just trying to sell them something.
Right, exactly. It's about treating your subscribers like individuals, not just numbers on a list.
Each person is unique.
What are their needs? What are their pain points?
Their interests.
And then tailor your messages to them.
Exactly. Personalization is key.
But it goes beyond just, you know, using their first name.
It's deeper than that.
It's about providing content that's actually relevant to their situation.
Their specific situation, yeah.
So, like, if someone just bought a product,
send them follow-up emails, helpful tips, maybe related products they might be interested in.
Right. Or if someone abandons their cart.
Gentle reminder, maybe a little incentive to complete the purchase.
Don't be afraid to get creative.
Exactly. Mix it up.
Maybe even send out a survey. Ask people what they want to see more of.
I love that idea.
The more you engage with your subscribers
and make them feel like a part of a community,
the more loyal they'll become.
Loyal customers are the best customers.
Absolutely. Now, before we wrap up this whole shebang, I know you like to leave our listeners with a little something to ponder.
A little food for thought.
Hit me with it.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the power of personalized emails, right?
I have.
So my question for everyone listening is this. What's one small change you could make to your emails today?
Ooh, I like it.
To tailor them better to your audience.
It could be like adding a personalized greeting.
Could be segmenting your list based on past purchases.
Simple things.
The point is to start thinking about how to make your emails more relevant.
More engaging.
For each individual subscriber.
Yeah, and if you're not sure where to start,
go back, revisit those key takeaways from the report.
Yeah, we covered a lot of good stuff today. A
lot of valuable insights.
That can help you level up your email marketing game in 2024.
That's what we're here for.
It's been a pleasure diving deep with you.
Likewise, always a good time.
And to all of you listening, thanks for joining us for The Deep Dive.
Until next time.
Keep learning, keep growing, and keep those inboxes engaged.